The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, we'll talk about adjusted season win totals in the National Football League. I think I have an over, and I think I have an under.
I think that's what I came up with as well.
And I think it's
one under and one over.
And I think it's counterintuitive to strength of schedule as well.
Ooh, ooh.
Fancy.
Also later this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke and Kelly Bidlin in a tie for 358th place in Circa Millions, but he's at 60% now or over 60%. So we get to talk about it and put all kinds of pressure on him. You excited?
I'm excited. You're more excited than I am.
Top 100 cash, Kelly.
Hey, man, I played a lot of poker tournaments my day. There's a long way to go. Yeah. Long way to go.
Plenty of time to mess it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Plenty of time to
plummet into the 4,000th place.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a man who lives a phenomenal life. He's a former first-round pick for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a national champion at the University of Colorado. And he's VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. Gil, Kelly, great to be with you guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Not as well as you. Can we show this picture? Kelly, you sent this to Kelly. This is a shot of...
Mike was on last week. He had more important things to do, hanging out in Cancun on this beautiful, beautiful beach.
Mike, let me ask you a question. What are you doing in Cancun this time of year?
Well, Gil, my long tenure in the National Football League, if anything taught me is, you need a bye week. Right. So yeah. I took a bye week from sports betting or betting in the NFL and college football and went down to La Casa de Playa.
Wow.
And it was awesome. I mean, it's just south of Playa de Carmen, just north of Tulum, and just a beautiful, beautiful resort and had a fabulous time for about a week. So I took a bye week. There's nothing wrong with that.
Good for you. It. Over 1.5, Pritch saying the word playa, cashes, plus money. All right. Okay, so the trade deadline yesterday, then Josh McDaniels getting fired deep into the night, because apparently the Raiders wanted to Mayflower truck this out of Baltimore kind of thing, so that nobody noticed, but we did notice in this day and age. Let's talk about that first. Just your observation as a guy who played the game, were you ever in an environment where, because here, Brent Musburger, let me just say this. Before you get your answer, Brent Musburger, who we all know and love here at VSiN's own, founder of VSiN, he had a really interesting comment when he was watching the Raiders from the stands down. He's not as a play-by-play guy anymore. And he's like, just watch the sideline. He goes, look how far away everybody is from Josh McDaniels. It is really true. Yeah. Like, no one was around him. Did you notice that, Pritch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there wasn't ever a standard set. With the Raiders. And that's one thing I think has to happen with the head coach. You have to create I often say culture, but it's really standard because look how players are slipping in their performances, right? Davante Adams dropping balls and certainly the offense hasn't executed. But there are signs like that. You're right. I mean, I think Brent is astute that way. Having covered the National Football League, covered sports for as long as he has. Another indicator too is, are the offensive linemen helping up the quarterback, right? You can see there's a disconnect there. Or is the offensive lineman, because that's big brother out there for you. Are the big guys, are the monsters out there helping you up as a skilled position player? If that's not the case, then that team is often disconnected. So there's a lot of indicators. I think when you really look at those things, if you want to focus in it, I know a lot of times with sports betting, we get caught up and consumed by the numbers, right? But body language is so much because the locker room is so important to make sure everybody's on the same page. And with the Raiders dismissing Josh McDaniels and the GM, obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and the OC as well, gone now as well.
Right, right.
Let me ask you this. Were you ever in a situation as a player where, like, you knew this guy wasn't working out and it just lingered?
You know, I think my third year in Atlanta, you know, there was rumblings because we were underachieving. We, you know, we made the playoffs my rookie year. And then Jerry Glanville, and certainly, you know, you drafted Brett Favre. Okay. He gets traded away. And then, you know, people's contracts are coming up. And so there was rumblings that, okay, look, my third year, I mean, I knew my contract was up and I knew I was going to be a restricted free agent, and that was going to be a great thing, a lucrative thing. But then, you know, Andre Rison was going to be gone. Perhaps a Deion Sanders contract, you know, Michael Haynes, and some of the star players that we had, you know, they just weren't being signed. And so that's when you start to get indicators, especially if the year's going down the drain, down the toilet, that, okay, there's going to be some changes. And, you know, I think Dennis Erickson, too, in Seattle, now I think about it, a chance to upgrade that with Mike Holmgren. I mean, if you're an owner, if you're a GM, then certainly you're going to look at that situation too. So, yeah, I think throughout the year, you get a feeling that things could happen, things could change, but not in the middle of the season. I've never been a part of a situation where the coach got fired in the middle of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Andre Rison had a thing at the house with left eye. It was a whole story, Kelly, for your time. Yeah. All right. Trade deadline yesterday. Was there something that stood out above everything else to you where you're like, okay, if it doesn't trigger a bet, it's certainly something that could be very impactful.
Well, I wonder what San Francisco's doing, because they added Hargrave last year or in offseason, and now they're adding Chase, right? And so it's like, what are they doing? I mean, they got Bosa. They just signed him to a last-minute deal, by the way, New defensive coordinator, too. So I don't know if these are signs, because they're on this losing streak, right, the 49ers. I don't know if that's signs of distress or not, because I did make this comment at the beginning of the year, especially with Bosa so long to sign. And I said it on our network that, man, it just feels like this organization is complacent. Right. But then they get off to this hot. Right. And then they get off to this hot start. They get off to this incredible start. And now all of a sudden you're like, okay, wait a minute. What are they doing here? What are they telling us? Because I thought that defense was set. I thought that whole team and that whole roster was set. But when injuries happen, we really try to find out, or we start to find out the depth situation. So I think that's happening. And then I don't know what your team out there in Washington's doing. It's wholesale time, it seems like, with all the trades that they're making right now.
I think they, hey, look, it's a new owner. That's all. Honestly, everything right. else is just gravy. But I do think they came to the conclusion, to answer your question. I think they're like, look, it's great to have all these names on defense. It's not translating to anything. We're still terrible on defense. They need to repurpose those assets to offensive linemen, secondary players, because this isn't, you can't have Sam Howell killed, you know, in the process of all this. And so, Payne and Allen.
But isn't it troubling? Isn't it true that Del Rio's still there, but everybody else is gone?
It's troubling.
The defensive line coach got that.
Troubling that Del Rio is there. It's troubling that Ron Rivera is there, but they'll be gone soon enough. As will the team name, Mike Pritchard. I just want to tell you that.
Right.
All that's going to be gone. That's interesting. By the way, I'd add to Javon Hargrave, as I mentioned earlier on the show, Eric Armstead, Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
They signed in San Francisco, hoping that was the answer. So we'll see if Chase Young is the, for Chase Young, this is it, right? It's like, all right, no more excuses. Here you go. Eight games with a great team. See if you can make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's a specimen, right? The thing is, okay, is he a motivated specimen? And I guess that's what coaches always fall in love with.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone said he's such a, they didn't use the word specimen, but they said he's such an amazing athlete, such an amazing, well, to use your word, a physical specimen, that you almost worry that a human body can't take that combination of strength and speed. Like, so we'll see if that pans out. The other thing is, it reminds me of, I mentioned LeVar Arrington earlier in the show. One's a linebacker, one's a defensive lineman. But I remember when Warren Sapp had the words about LeVar Arrington, he goes, oh, there's Mr. Can't Get It Right. So all the talent in the world, but Warren Sapp said to me, you can't get it right. You can't figure out that you're supposed to stay in, you know, you got to do your job. You can't ad lib on every single play. And there was a little of Chase Young with that too earlier in his career. So hopefully he purges that. That's been a knock as well. Okay, here we are. Second half of the season is almost upon us. And I'm just going to ask you the basic question that your non-betting friends ask you. And I'll ask you this of you, Pritch. Who do you think is in the Super Bowl right now? Oh, forget the Super Bowl. Who's in both? Who's both in the NFC right. and the AFC championship games?
Well, I'll start with the AFC. I mean, we're going to see a really a litmus test, I think, this weekend with Miami and Kansas City. Because I think Kansas City's kind of been in stealth mode and that caught up with them last week against Denver. But that could refocus a team, right? That needs to be focused because they're so good. And then Miami, I think we'll find out a lot about Miami as well. So in the NFC, it's so wide open, but the Eagles have been consistent. I'm not afraid to go out there. I think Dallas still can put it together. If they all get on the same page, Gil and Kelly, they all get on the same page. And then I'm still real curious about San Francisco, but I'm sticking with the leaders because I'll say this at nauseum. There's more constants in the National Football League than outliers. And we get energized or excited about the outliers and the special teams and the unique situations. But a lot of teams get it wrong. I mean, look at the Raiders, right? A lot of teams, a lot of franchises, just they repeatedly get it wrong. So the teams that are consistent and getting it right with the strong rosters and if they're healthy, you know, that's what I'm focusing in on right now. And those are the leaders of both conferences.
Yeah, I grew up on a sports talk radio host by the name of Ken Beatrice in Washington. And mm-hmm. he used to say, not only did he say every good and bad organization starts at the top of whatever walk of life, but he always used to say, we always think, oh, there's good and bad plumbers. There's good and bad dentists. And because there's only 32 of these jobs, we always think, well, there got to be 32 great coaches. No, there's good and bad coaches. And they make it all the way to right. this level as well. It's true of football. Right. What's true in the rest of the world. Thank you, Pritch. Always a pleasure and glad to have you back from Cancun. Hopefully you can get back there soon enough.
Absolutely. Pleasure is mine. Thanks, guys.
Mike Pritchard, man of the world. Cancun midseason. We'll come back. Adjusted season win totals. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts' leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That's $120 United States dollars at VSiN.com/subscribe. Did you happen to see the end of the Spurs game last night?
Yes, I did.
Spurs and Suns. Yeah, the baseball game was so bad that like everybody turned. I know I turned. I'm sure everybody turned away from it. And I'm like, all right, what other random stuff is going on here?
Well, I wonder how many people did. What I did was I was watching NBA already, and then it was let me check in on baseball. Oh, it's 10-0 already.
Never mind. I was the other direction. I was like, well, I don't have to watch this anymore. For those who missed it, the Spurs beat the Suns outright last night, 115-114. In game, they were as high as 60-1, I believe, at one point in this game. The Spurs end up winning this game, outscoring the Suns 33-19 in the fourth quarter. Victor Wembanyama, 18 points, 8 boards, 4 block shots. He got a follow-up shot, you know, uncontested to put the Spurs down 114-113 with, and I want to get this accurate, so I'm just not making it up, with exactly 7 seconds left in the ballgame, just under 7 seconds left. And then the Suns inbound the pass. There was no Devin Booker, there was no Bradley Beal for the Suns yesterday, but they inbound the pass to Kevin Durant. And Keldon Johnson steals the ball and drives to the hoop for what turned out to be the game-winning layup with 1.2 seconds left. And the crowd just went to a silent hush. Durant got scraped across the face and was bloodied. No call. Spurs with the upset win.
Yeah, and then
good on them.
One more shot he couldn't make. Did you see the? And it was on. It's been on all the highlight packages. But like from the first half, the fadeaway that Durant shot over Wemby.
I did not.
It was an amazing shot. It was I can't remember what it was. End of the first quarter, early second quarter. Has to go to the corner, kind of step out, fade away. And it was a great shot. Wemby out, stretched out completely trying to block it. it was just a reminder. I saw the shot go, and I'm like, that's an amazing shot by Kevin Durant. But then you're like, I don't think I've ever seen Kevin Durant have to fade away like that, because he can just shoot over anybody, right? Yeah. Besides Victor Wembanyama.
Right,
because
he's touching 7 feet almost himself.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him go that far back to make sure he got a shot over someone.
You
got to
adjust your parabolas with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's fun to watch him.
See his Halloween costume? His Slender Man? Yeah, I did. It's phenomenal. I didn't know what Slender Man was, but it was a phenomenal costume.
Yeah, that was a good one. At least he's buying into it, right? Like, we've had, like, was it Durant and Giannis, like, at different points, to, like, take offense to their frame, like, that people bring up? It's like, man, you're a tall, long guy.
Yeah, come totally. On. Good on him. Good on him with that. Okay. Let's talk adjusted season win totals. We love to see this. By the way, some adjusted NBA season win totals are popping up in some sports books. Have you noticed this? Just side note.
I think a lot of them had last year. DraftKings had those last year.
Adjusted NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This early, did they? I like it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, adjusted NFL season win totals is not something that has existed since the dawn of time. It's only been the last few years. Before that, it was reserved for the back rooms. I used to call it this off-the-grid thing I used to do. It was generated at Lehman Brothers in New York, and it was like the most popular thing ever. Lots of money changed hands in those days until it was finally snuffed out because it just got to be too big. And now it's out in the open. It's legal. Adjusted season win totals in the NFL. It used to be, hey, here are your season win totals. The season starts. We'll grade them at the end of the year. Yeah, that's how it was for most of the history of sports betting. Now we have them adjusted, and we like to look back on these and or check in and see if there's any value. You want to do it by conference? AFC? We'll do AFC here?
Yeah.
So the hardest, so the remaining strength of schedule. If you go to, all right, remaining strength of schedule in the National Football League, who's got the hardest remaining schedule? The answer to that question is, in terms of aggregate opponents' win percentage, Baltimore has the hardest remaining schedule, 597 aggregate opponent win percentage. Cincinnati is second hardest at 592. Just percentage points behind that. Cincinnati has 10 games left. Cincinnati is currently 4-3. The Bengals adjusted season win total is 9.5. So in order to exceed that, they've got to go, what is that? 6-4 the rest of the way. 6-4. It is slightly juiced at -145. I'd go over, despite that strength of schedule, win percentage. I think the Bengals over is the play here. And I'll tell you why. If you go through this and you do the whole win-loss, you know, win-loss thing, which I know is always rife with pitfalls. But that's the one that I came to the conclusion I like the most on this, because I don't see how, like, when I was doing it, I was like, okay, I do that exercise and I'm like, okay, their win total ought to be this then.
Yeah.
You do that for most teams, you're always disappointed because you're like, oh, they got this right. It's
perfect. Right. Yeah.
I didn't think that was the case for the Bengals. I thought their adjusted win total should be 10.5. They've got Buffalo this week, which I have them winning this game. Some people would disagree, but I have them winning this. But then they got home Houston, then at Baltimore, home Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, home Indy, home Minnesota, at Pittsburgh, and they close at Kansas City, home Cleveland. I think 6-4 is not all that much to ask for this solid of a team down the stretch. I like the over, and I'll lay the -145.
I don't think it is either. That is one I checked out for sure. I mean, especially when you have talking about Kirk Cousins going down for the Vikings, right? That game gets easier against Minnesota. I'm kind of over. I'm chuckling over here because the one I isolated here on the top end for my under is the Bills. Who they're playing this week. But yeah. Both you and I have Bengals bets, so this kind
will
of
either,
already
will
makes
either look
sense.
Very good or very bad.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So Bills.
Bills, by the way, third hardest remaining strength of schedule.
Yeah, third hardest remaining schedule. 9.5 the win total set at. You're getting plus money, too, on the under, +125 over at DraftKings right now. So 5 wins banked. You got to get 5 more at Cincinnati. Okay, you got home Denver, home Jets. Those are probably pretty good. But then you're at Philadelphia, at Kansas City, home against the Cowboys, at the Chargers. You got New England at home, okay. And you're at Miami. They got a brutal end to the schedule here, too. So that is, I was a little surprised to hear Eric Eager as high as he was on the Bills, well, especially since I kind of dove into this last night.
I was just going to follow up with that because Aaron Schatz, we talked about DVOA yesterday, same thing. He's got Buffalo way up there. So both Schatz and Eager have them still high up. This is after watching them basically play a month of poor football. And so I don't know how much of that is their priors still lingering, but that doesn't really pass the eye test. Though, on the other hand, if we saw them playing, what, like, if they had a good game this week, we'd change our whole thoughts on it. We'd be like, oh, maybe they were right about it.
Yeah, I think this year, just me mentally, because I've gotten very excited about this team in years past. You know what I mean? I've just gotten to the point where they are what they are. Josh Allen's going to look incredible sometimes, and there's going to be games he throws 2-3 interceptions and buries them. And I just don't trust his health right now. That's the biggest.
That he has him as MVP. He's so adamant. Yeah. He was like Josh Allen. As quick as he could answer.
I mean, he's their whole offense. He could win it. He absolutely could win. I don't think he's very healthy right now. I think he's dealing with multiple injuries. That's also part of the reason why I like the under on this one.
The interesting thing that got revealed in all of this, looking at strength of schedule, is think about the teams that we have as the most elite in the NFL. These are the top six, these are the hardest six remaining strength of schedules. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Dallas, Miami, San Francisco, and for good measure, Seattle 7th. So like most of the good teams we have up there have the hardest remaining schedules in the NFL. And you're asking, okay, which of the elite teams don't have it quite as hard? Philadelphia, which has the hardest stretch of all of them, has the 12th hardest remaining schedule. That's because they close with three games with the Cardinals and the Giants. But until then, it's brutality. And then, like we said so many times with Jacksonville and with Detroit, whatever you think about Jacksonville and Detroit, they're coasting to their division titles.
Yep.
Because Jacksonville's got the, Jacksonville's in the bottom half, so they're 17th, so they're actually 492 opposing schedule, a strength of schedule. And Detroit, man, fourth easiest remaining schedule in all of football.
So I don't know. Did you have anything else in the AFC or was your other one in the NFC?
Other ones in the NFC.
Okay, I'm going to go to the bottom end of the AFC because this is where my over was. I like the Texans over. I like the Texans over the 7.5 right now. And a lot of it's because of the schedule you just talked about. But you got three wins banked. Okay, so you got to get five more, right? Home against Tampa, at Cincinnati, Arizona on the schedule, Denver on the schedule, the Jets on the schedule, Titans on the schedule twice, the Colts on the schedule. I think that team could rack up five wins and get over that 7.5.
Eighth easiest remaining strength of schedule for the Houston Texans. Wow, imagine that. Would that mean D'Amico Ryans would be the coach of the year or still Dan Campbell to you?
Ooh, good question.
I think you'd have to go D'Amico. I really do.
I mean, if you're betting one, there's a lot that correlated.
Yeah, right. See what the numbers are, of course. We'll come back. Baseball break. Jason Weingarten on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app. Use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's VEGAS. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Rick Olier, is it too late for the Raiders to tank for Wembanyama? I believe it is. Let's see. Oh, I got someone. This is from Kevin Ryan. Having lived in Denver during the Josh McDaniels debacle, it is commonly known that one of his first moves as head coach was to trade Jay Cutler to the Bears because there were rumors that he was hitting on his wife. Was on every sports radio outlet at the time. I don't know. That's an interesting little take from Denver. I will say this again because we did have a question about it. He was 6-0 with the Broncos. Again, his record since then as a head coach, 14-33. And we had DJ Williams famously saying, no, we got caught. Like, he goes, I've never been so prepared for six games in my life. He used to say to us for those six games, like, if they're in this formation, you sprint to this point. And every time he was right, it was incredible how prepared we were for those six games. And then we had to share a stadium and we got caught that we were taking all their signs. We were filming all their, no wonder.
Oh, man.
So there's that. Anyway.
Maybe Belichick will give you a job. Assistant OC, co-OC with Bill O'Brien.
You think you'd take him back? Sure. Sure, who
knows? They'll find a spot.
I'll tell you this,
though. Defensive coordinator, maybe, yeah.
And Josh McDaniels, he not getting another head coaching spot, though.
I hope that is finally done.
14-33. Come on. Let's not do a retread thing. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. At Spreadopedia is where you can follow him on X. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. Did you have any play in the World Series last night?
I had the under. That didn't work out. Thought the bullpen game would keep it a little tighter, and Rangers had other plans.
Yeah. So, by the way, Paul Spohr said this yesterday on the show, and he couldn't have been more right about it. How many times John Smoltz and Joe Davis have some permutation, have some permutation of the line, oh, that's the thing with bullpen games. You got to have everybody on it, or one person's not on. Boy, is it, they say some variation of that over and over on a broadcast, and that didn't, that actually manifested last night for sure. Here, it's a coin. It was a coin flip last night. It's a coin flip tonight between Nady Eovaldi and Zach Gallen. Game five, as the Rangers look to win the World Series. Do you have a play on this game?
I like the Rangers to end it tonight. I think the price is pretty reasonable on them getting the Eovaldi -105. You know, what's not to like about the Rangers? I guess maybe not having Adolis is a little bit of a problem, but they've been the better team more or less this series when it's mattered. You know, Corey Seager's going to win another World Series MVP when all said and done, most likely. So,
yep.
Would not surprise me if it's the last game of the 2023 season tonight.
What do we have to do? And by we, I mean you and me, because you and me have had this multiple seasons to get Corey Seager to actually be a regular season MVP. Good God.
Well, I think the first thing we got to do is get Ohtani out of the American League, which, you know, has a decent chance of happening. I have a hard time seeing what American League franchises are going to be in the running for him. Maybe the Yankees, but I don't know. I think that's the first thing we got to do. But in general, I mean, I think we just, you know, we got the right guy, right process, bad outcome.
Where do you think, by the way, speaking of Ohtani, what is your hunch? What is your Jason Weingarten spider senses telling you that he's
Dodgers?
You always say Dodgers, though, right? Your default is Dodgers.
What's the other option? The Mets?
Well, if
you want to go to New York and play for the Mets, I don't want to play for the Mets.
The buzz is that the San Francisco Giants will not be outbid.
That's definitely a possibility. I mean, it fits into the West Coast, direct flight to Japan. So he's definitely got all those boxes checked. I'd say it's definitely possible, especially when they have some of the people from the Dodgers front office who are familiar with them. And, you know, I wouldn't count them out. I'm just saying the Dodgers seem like the most logical, you know, landing spot, but yeah. The Giants definitely check all the boxes as well.
Yeah, it's funny. Ethan Strauss, who's a Bay Area guy who writes a lot about the Warriors and the Giants, wrote this great piece that Will Hill sent me about, you know, if you come as a free agent to San Francisco, and I love the city of San Francisco, so I say this as someone who gets to say this. But boy, if he comes for a visit, they've got to really choreograph that trip for Shohei Ohtani, because you take the wrong turn down there, man. Boy, someone will be like, I don't want to play for this team. And it's really a thing in San Francisco now. And I say it as a guy who loves the city, but, things that people say about it are true. And so you wonder, what about Seattle?
Seattle definitely fits the criteria, but I don't think they have the money. I think it's like a cultural fit. I don't think it's a financial fit.
Okay. All right. And whoever takes him is going to have him for a year without him being a pitcher, right? He'll just be a hitter for 1 year.
I think that's also what separates the Dodgers is they have a pretty strong, you know, rehab program for pitchers, and a lot of veterans have, you know, come in and rehabbed with them. The Dodgers surgeons tend to be the ones doing these kind of surgeries on players for other teams as well. So
interesting.
I don't know. Just a lot of synergies there.
How did your Rose Zhang bet work out?
disappointing. She actually ended up, she had a 2-shot lead at, you know, going into halfway through the final round or so. She was odds on for a minute and couldn't close. Had a little bit of trouble. And unfortunately, also Celine Boutier, who's having a pretty fine season herself, shot like an 8 or 9 under, ended up going to a playoff without Zhang in it. Ended up being a 9-hole playoff, which is kind of a lot of a golf, but unfortunately no winner for me there. Now Rose Zhang, she's playing in Japan. I think it starts tonight. Always fun, you know, when you lose a bet at 40-1. Now she's 15-1 this week against a slightly weaker field, but yeah, I bet a little bit on it. I guess at least I'm happy. I only had $500 on her last week, so it was only $500 to win $20. It wasn't $1,000 to win $40, but either way, still not fun.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, if you've said it once, you've said it a million times. You got to watch out for Celine Boutier and her just making a surge on the final day.
We can't stop talking about it on Long Shots.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. By the way, you're familiar with Long Shots? I don't think it gets promoted enough.
New episode up now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you hosting?
Hosted for Wes. Yeah, he's doing all the capping for the Worldwide Technology Championship.
What's Matt Brown's excuse? He's coming back?
I think he's actually a little under the weather.
Right now. Okay. All right. Well, hope he feels better. Hope he's better for the Megapod on Thursday and our appearance here on the Numbers Game on Friday. Jason, what did you bet football-wise, pro or college, this weekend?
I took the Giants last night with the news, the firing news, because I knew that that line would be on the move a little bit this morning. So I locked in some of the +2.5. Now it's down to 1.5. Other than that, I'm looking for some numbers on Oregon State to back against Colorado. I have not played that yet, but I'm definitely going to be on Oregon State one way or the other. What do you think about Colorado, Gil? We haven't talked about them in a minute.
Yeah, well, I think this took the trajectory we all did, right? We all thought, which is, let's have them be a great story. Let's milk this content for as much as we can the first 3 weeks. We all knew the Oregon and the USC game were up 4th and 5th. They got housed by Oregon, comported themselves okay against USC, but then that Stanford thing kind of ended the season, didn't it? Like, it's like, how do you lose that game?
I just like the press conference with Dion after the game. Not my fault these guys suck, you know? Like,
yeah,
I enjoy watching Dion because you never know what you're going to get. But straight up, just like, we're going to replace all the starting linemen, which
yes,
clearly, as you know, is excellent motivation for making them want to come out and block for your son next week, is telling them how bad they all are and you're going to replace them. So
you're 100% right. It is.
I'm very interested to see if these guys call the watch out play for Shador this week, where they all stand up and yell, watch out, you know?
No, it's so true. We said this before they went 3-0. We said, it's like, wow, that was one way to tell the current players that they weren't really wanted around here. And then they spun that to, well, if you were that soft and that upset you, you know, you weren't meant for this team anyway. And so some guys did get to stick around. But yeah, with this offensive line commentary, like yesterday, it was just like, okay, this is not the way to go.
To say that about your own players, it's another thing to say that about your own players and then expect them to go out and block for your son. That's what I was saying about why these situations are so dumb most of the time. Like, I just don't know what's going to happen, but it should be fun. I'll probably be watching it. The other game I like this weekend, by the way, in the NFL, I like the Rams +3. The Packers, just a total mess. Like, I this is a bad year for Green Bay. How about, give me the Rams +3 coming off that Cowboys game.
How about John Wolford telling Sean McVay, no, I'd rather stay here on the practice squad in Tampa than play for you again? How about that?
I don't know if it was that or if it was just walking into the situation in L.A. is not a good one this year. I mean, it also, remember, it's expensive. Got to come to L.A., pay more taxes in Florida. Not a good deal for a practice squad guy.
That's a good point. And Wolford off the practice squad now in Tampa Bay as well. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Go Rangers tonight. Talk to you later.
Justin Wins next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. With our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Taylor Heinicke? Are we getting word that he's starting officially now for the Atlanta Falcons? Is that what we're hearing? Let's check on that. Obviously, Desmond Ridder with the concussion protocol happening. This is Wea Tweets, by the way, at Beating the Book, Monkey yes. Biz.
Her coach Arthur Smith, the Falcons, I mean, this is an Ian Rappaport tweet. I never understand tweets like this. The Falcons are expected to start Taylor Heinicke this weekend per coach Arthur Smith.
Okay.
It's like, so, what the heck does that mean? He was like, yeah, I think he's going to go, yeah.
It means I better get on record with something vague.
Right.
Monkey Biz. Charlie Alcaraz, or Charlina, who Carlitos would be the other way he's called, by the way, lost to a guy wearing a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt fresh from a pickup game in basketball. How does that happen? Talking about Roman Safayin.
That's awesome.
Upsetting Carlos Alcaraz. Don't call him Carlos. Call him Charlie or Carlitos. To answer, there is no way you could have anticipated that. And he beat him in straight sets handily, too. The women have the WTA finals right now in Cancun, Mexico. Surprised Pritch didn't go for that.
Yeah, seriously.
WTA is a disaster. Like, the courts were barely ready to practice on before the tournament started. This is WTA finals. The eight biggest point getters for the entire year are there. Sakkari's already eliminated, by the way, and Pegula has advanced to the semifinals.
What if Pritch and Iga became a thing, like Kelsey and Taylor Swift?
Oh, my God. I would just, I'd lose my mind.
How would you handle that?
I don't know how I'd handle it. I'm already you even suggesting it? I'm, like, having trouble processing it right now. And then the men, they have a Masters tournament right now going on. Which is where Alcaraz lost, and that one is in Paris. And so there's all kinds of, like, funky little results from all that. But yes, Monkey Biz wearing a Fruit of the Loom shirt from a pickup basketball game.
Great tweet.
Nevad Azer, the agents play a huge role in these poor head coaching hires. Agents making fools of general managers. Let's see. Wayne Redmond is talking about the Harbaugh thing. So should we pencil Jim Harbaugh in now as the next coach of the Raiders? That's the rumor, right? That always happens now that Jim Harbaugh is going through all this. You know, he was suspended earlier in the year, and then now it's the sign stealing thing. John Harbaugh has even said on the down low, he's going to be back in the pros. I don't know about it. I really don't. Like, tomorrow, if they said, oh, he signed to a long term deal at Michigan, would anybody be surprised?
Not at all.
And then this is about Florida sports betting, but it has not been legalized. But this is from initially reported. Andy Slater is a talk show host for Fox Sports down in that part of the country. But we have resumed with sports betting in Florida at the Hard Rock, at least the Hard Rock app, within the next 2 to 3 weeks. The Seminole Tribe of Florida announcing they'll be opening in-person sports books and craps roulette tables, by the way, on December 7th. The mobile app will launch before then. So it's not statewide legalization, but we do have sports betting now back in the state of Florida, at least there. And you said it was in Hollywood, Florida, Kelly?
Yeah.
So Hollywood, which is just north of Miami, north of Fort Lauderdale. That's where you can bet sports. Now, please don't tell Calvin Ridley that this is happening. Make sure you don't do that.
Those states become trickier. California, Florida, with the tribes involved. This is from Legal Sports Report. A week ago, U.S. Supreme Court denied Wes Flagler Associates' request for a stay of mandate in the ongoing Florida sports wagering case, paving the way for this move via the Seminole Compact with the state. So, hey, if get a lawyer, friend, and you can figure out how this is all going to go, because I don't really know.
Yeah. Not statewide legal betting, but a pocket.
I also don't really understand if you can just bet on, can only bet on Seminole Tribe land, how can I use a mobile app outside of that?
Okay. It's above our pay grade. That's what that is.
It feels like me trying to use a FanDuel or points bet here, right, when they're not legalized in Nevada.
I don't know. We don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but, like, honestly, California, Texas, Florida, Texas, not the same dynamics, but those are the three most populous states in the union.
Yeah. Just and, in huge money waiting.
Yeah. And just no legal sports betting. I don't know that it will happen anytime soon in either. California botched it with the two competing bills that confused everybody. And it was the, like, massive ad campaign that drove everybody mad.
So and Florida botched it at least once already, too, because that was the when they passed down the law to get rid of get rid of the dog racing, it was attached on there that also that would mean no sports betting. So, like, of course, everybody was like, well, yeah, we want to stop the dog racing. It's cruel what they do to those dogs. It's horrible. But, like, I think a lot of people didn't realize that was all attached in one with what the sports betting would become legalized.
Still high lie down there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was my jam back in the day. So fixed. All right, NFC adjusted season win totals. I just want to point that out. I can't tell you how close I was to hitting one. I was like, oh, he randomly dropped it out of his cesta for no reason. Okay, this is, again, this is counterintuitive to remaining strength of schedule. When Kelly and I have looked at these adjusted season win totals, the biggest sort of thing that pops out is with these NFC South teams, I mean, they all play each other, so their strength of schedule is so easy. But the Falcons are at 9.5. 9.5, and they're currently 4-4. Okay.
Okay. Wait. Before you go down this road,
yes.
can I just bring up some how interesting it was looking at these and typing up the NFC specific ones? Because you tossed the question at me, what was it, Monday or Friday? I can't even remember. Basically, of what are your 7 NFC playoff teams?
Yes.
These win totals alone tell you, well, we got 5 in there, someone from the NFC South, and then there's, like, there is no 8.5 right now in the NFC.
Yeah.
There's 9.5 and 7.5. So a clear line of delineation.
Falcons have got to go 6-3 the rest of the way to go over that season win total. 6-3. Now, they have the easiest remaining strength of schedule in the NFL, as I mentioned, which is an aggregate win percentage of 377. 377.
That's incredible.
Just to let you know, here are the teams they have. They got to play the Cardinals, the Panthers, the Bears, the Colts, the Bucks. You know who their hard games are? The Vikings, the Jets, and 2 against the Saints. Those are their hard games. And yet, Kelly Bidlin, I would bet them under. I would bet them under. Because I don't, listen, here's how the Taylor Heinicke thing works when he plays. He has a game or two where you're like, oh my God, they're so much better with Taylor Heinicke. And then by game 3, you realize, oh, he can't throw the ball more than 45 yards downfield. And you're like, okay, well, it's cute. He'll win you a game or two, but he doesn't do anything for you long term. He's not your long term solution. And they will go back to Desmond Ridder because of that once they see that chink in the armor. So if I go down this, this Atlanta Falcons schedule, and believe me, I did. I just don't see them winning 6. You're asking them to win 6 games. By the way, the under is appropriately juiced. The under is juiced. So the market is sort of reflecting what I'm saying here. I would lay the juice on this because here are their games. Home Minnesota. Okay, their favorite. Then at Arizona, then a bye. Home New Orleans, at Jets, home Tampa.
I'm just trying to figure out. It's obviously not going to be much, but they're going to be favored in most of these games.
Well, not that stretch after the bye. Home New Orleans, at the Jets, home Tampa. The market loves them, so you might be right.
Like,
but the market's wrong the
Saints,
half the time.
Home against Saints, pick. It's probably a pick 'em or Falcons 1-2 sort of thing, right? Jets are favored. At Jets are favored.
All right, but are you confident they're going to go 6-3?
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
Yeah, like
I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit and you are like the Falcons haters, I feel like, all the time.
Well, and the jury's still out, right? Because they're 4-4. So they're just kind of meh.
And once we get done with this whole season, Gil, how are you going to be able to judge this team going into the playoffs? Their best wins over the Texans. It's their best win.
Even if I just, they're not going 6-3. I'd go under on them because there's just too many of these that are like, there's the margin for error is so thin.
That's what it is. So that's
what it is.
They're going to be favored in a lot of these games, but it's going to be less than 3, like 3 or less where they're favored.
Even if they go 5-4, you win this under. And I just don't think this team is capable of being that. 6-3 is a lot to ask of a team who has to play New Orleans twice, has to go on the road to play the Jets, has to play Tampa. Indy's never that easy for a team of this caliber. I that's an under to me.
Yeah, no, I would definitely be leaning that way too.
Yeah.
Definitely leaning that way too. This, like, if this team gets in the playoffs, it's going to be so gross. You might be talking about their best win being over a Texans team. Right now it is.
Oh, somebody bad is getting in the playoffs in the NFC. Could be the Falcons. By the way,
a couple bad teams.
9-8 could get them in the playoffs. You could be right on the season win totals under, and they could still make the playoffs.
Yep.
Both of those things could be true. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.